your favorite show on Cairo Radio. It's Cairo Nights. G and Mace, happy Friday.
Woo!
Happy Friday. That's right. I'm going to say it again. One more again. Happy Friday. Brother Mace is here. DB's on the ones and twos. And Frank Shires comes in with news at the top and the bottom of the hour. Mace,
yeah.
The thing about Fridays is, the truth is, I said this all day today. It ain't everybody's Friday. Your Friday ain't as universal as it used to be. Friday used to be. Do you remember this? And I know you do because you grew up really a lot in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when, like, yeah, okay, maybe somebody worked on Saturday. Okay. But remember back in the day, Sunday? Dude, like, nobody. Like, Sunday was the day of rest.
The town was shut down.
Shut down. No stores are open. Right. Like, oh, hurry up. You got to go shopping because the stores aren't open on Sunday.
Right. Or for like 3 hours on Sunday. You know?
Call me old-fashioned. Kind of miss it. Call me old-fashioned. I'm telling you, man. Sunday used to be like a day of family. Like, you couldn't even, like, when I was coming up, we could go ahead and go to church. Bears game came on, football. Then I might be able to go outside and play a little football with the friends after the Bears game, but I had to be in the house early. Like, Sunday was a real family time. I could not spend the night at anybody's house on Saturday nights or anything like that. Sunday was a big deal.
It was. When I go home to New Jersey to go visit my family, my Aunt Cheryl has Sunday dinner, and she has whoever it's family, friends, whoever wants to come by. She's got a huge pot of ravioli, and she's making some chicken cutlets and, like, all kinds of just big food, garlic bread for everybody.
That's dope.
And it is, when I go home, it's one of the most important things I do because I get to reconnect. You get to spend some time. I don't do that here now in my own life, but having that time set aside, I think, is real important, and it's something that we don't do anymore today. You know, like, I'm not a religious guy anymore, but I believe in the Sabbath.
Same.
I think it's good for us as individuals and us as a group.
I think I'm going to go back to that. I did that when my kids were younger. I used to do family dinners on Sundays.
Mm.
That was a big deal. I think I want to go back to that because, man, I think you get so much more out of life, and you get to touch people that you haven't talked to in a minute.
Yeah.
Like, when I say touch, I said touch. Y'all need more hugs. That's our problem. We so angry because we don't hug enough. Go hug somebody. When is the last time you hugged somebody outside of your significant other or your kids? Go hug a stranger. Okay, no, maybe not. I don't want to get in trouble. All right, let's get to it.
Here's the top three things we need to discuss. Number one.
Well, the sun rose this morning. The tides have risen and fallen, and there is yet more information to incriminate Boeing for the 737 MAX jets. The FAA found the records of two text messages from 2016, which are related to this issue here. The messages were between two pilots concerning that MCAS system on the jets. Now, David Shepherdson of Reuters.com has further details.
According to documents seen by Reuters, instant messages between the MAX's then chief technical pilot and another Boeing pilot in 2016 show that the head technical pilot, referring to a key safety system on the 737 MAX, said that, quote, "I basically lied to the regulators unknowingly." Boeing's CEO Dennis Muilenburg is scheduled to testify before Congress for the first time later this month and provide investors with an update next week. Shares of Boeing tumbled as much as 7% on worries this crisis is far from over.
CBS Radio went a little bit further into what the technical concerns were, according to the texts.
The concerns seemed to focus on the plane's flight control system. That's the system that played a key role in two deadly crashes that led to the aircraft's grounding. Boeing has been aware of the messages for a number of months, but only yesterday revealed their existence to the FAA.
There will, I'm sure, be some further developments discovered over the next month or so. The FAA, the Department of Justice, everybody is involved in this. I do want to say that in response to the news, Boeing has released a statement. It says that over the past several months, Boeing has been voluntarily cooperating with the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee's investigation into the 737 MAX. As part of that cooperation, today, we brought to the committee's attention a document containing statements by a former Boeing employee. We will continue to cooperate with the committee as it continues its investigation, and we will continue to follow the direction of the FAA and other global regulators as we work to safely return the 737 MAX to service.
Number two.
A new study commissioned by the group Better Babies, Brighter Futures has been looking into the ingredients in baby foods. And shockingly, this is shocking now, there have been some very dramatic findings. Parents, listen up. Here's NBC News' Blaine Alexander.
Toxic chemicals damaging to babies' brains are likely in the foods you're feeding your infant. That's according to a new study released today. Researchers tested 61 brands of baby food purchased right off the shelves from 17 grocery stores. 95% of the baby foods they tested contained toxic metals, including arsenic and lead. According to the FDA, those metals accumulate in the body and have been linked to lower IQ and behavior problems in kids. Some of the biggest offenders, fruit juices and teething biscuits, along with rice-based foods like puffs and cereal. The toxins seep into our food from soil and water. And while the FDA has set limits around arsenic in food like rice, they are only guidelines.
Alexander spoke with Jane Houlihan, the research director for Better Babies, Brighter Futures. And they are, by the way, an alliance of scientists and nonprofit organizations and donors trying to reduce exposures to neurotoxic chemicals during the first months of life. And their research director, Jane Houlihan, pointed out a lack of consistency and accountability when it comes to baby food companies.
There's no requirement for the government to regulate them. Children are exposed day after day, every time they sit down to a meal, and the harmful effects can add up.
Now, thankfully, Alexander has some tips for how parents can avoid some of these toxic chemicals.
The FDA says you can remove as much as 60% of arsenic in rice by boiling it in extra water and rinsing it before serving.
They also say, according to pediatrician Tanya Altman via CNN, says, avocados, pureed veggies, peanut butter, oatmeal, salmon are great first foods for infants. They get the nutrients and may even decrease food allergies. Meat is a better source of iron and zinc than rice cereals. And if you're using the teething biscuits, try some frozen bananas and a peeled and chilled cucumber or clean wet washcloth. But please be careful about choking.
Number three.
All right, so it's Friday. It's time for a fun third story. And by fun, I just mean absolute nonsense.
All right.
Lawyers for President Donald Trump.
And stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. President Donald Trump. Lawyers for President Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This is either about taxes,
okay,
or something about the impeachment process.
Okay. Two strikes. Because
or this is something about someone saying something about one of his sons. All right.
That's
three strikes.
Three strikes.
All right, what do you got?
The lawyers of Donald Trump and his reelection campaign have threatened in a letter that was dated October 16th, made public just today, that they are threatening to sue CNN for what they say was the network falsely advertising itself as a news organization, calling on executives to first discuss, quote, an appropriate resolution to the matter that would include a, quote, substantial payment to cover damages. Do you want to hear CNN's response?
Yeah.
And my favorite part of this story? Yeah. CNN spokesman in an email, quote, "This is nothing more than a desperate PR stunt and doesn't merit a response." Period.
You know,
CNN's cold.
You know, lately I've been on this whole public statements and quotes and what you say.
Yes.
That was genius.
It's so good.
That was genius.
It's so good. And listen, guys, this isn't going to go anywhere. Like, nothing. We're not going to see anything about this. The guy who signed the letter, his name is Charles Harder, and he's somebody who does this all the time on behalf of Trump and his organizations. Last year, he said that Trump would take legal action against the New York Times for that investigative report on his business stuff, where we found out all of that. That was going on there. Harder also threatened a libel lawsuit over that book, Fire and Fury, Inside the Trump White House. Michael Wolff wrote it, and it portrayed basically an inept president fumbling around in the White House. And this is not CNN's first scuffle, obviously, legally, with the president, because you'll remember back in 2018, Trump flipped out over Jim Acosta, who was CNN's White House correspondent, because he asked him about Russia and the 2016 election and all that. So the White House suspended Jim Acosta's press credentials later that day, and they said that he had put his hands on an intern who was trying to take a microphone from him. They released some sort of doctored video where they sped it up to make it look more aggressive, but none of that happened, and so the White House later had to restore Jim Acosta's press access because CNN sued them, challenging the revocation as a violation of the reporter's constitutional rights.
I'm going to take this time to jump into the hove, the carpool lane. I want you to jump in with me.
I'm with you.
Carol Knight, you listening? Jump in. Jump in. Let's ride. Let's go on a ride. Our country needed this. We needed all of this. We needed Donald Trump in office. I'm being dead serious.
Let me guess. You're saying that, like, the dust that's been swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Like, so at some point, you got to pull that rug back.
Yep.
And see what's going on.
Yep. For so many years, we've been sweeping things under the rug. We've been sweeping sexual harassment, sexism, racism, all the things, systemic racism, all the policies that are put in place for years. And I'm telling the truth. And by the way, I'm not being sarcastic. If Hillary wins, none of this is being talked about. We're not getting through this. And of course, somebody's going to say, yeah, Trump was this genius. Whatever. I don't care. Whatever. If you want to call him a genius, fine. I'm not even talking about that. I am saying that America needed Trump in office so that we can get to the bottom of a lot of things. A lot of things. Because I tell you what, the police shootings that's going on with unarmed black folks and things like that, the things that happened down in Texas recently with a man being in his apartment, I tell you what, Hillary Clinton in office, she probably gets off. Amber Geiger probably gets off. Because that's what was going on. Right. We are actually talking about so many things. Right. And I think corporate America, corporations, Starbucks had adversity training because of the black gentleman that had to get up from the Starbucks over in Philly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not being sarcastic here. This needed to happen. It's no different than when you have those really uncomfortable family discussions that your family needed to have. Damn it. My family still never had it. Some families never have the conversation that needed to be had.
That's
and you're
true.
Holding grudges for 25 and 30 years. Some of you probably still ain't talking to that family member because of something that happened 20 plus years ago. We needed this. So whatever comes of this, whether he wins again in 2020, I'm not even getting into the politics.
Right.
But all of this, I'm suing CNN and CNN, all this back and forth. We've had some messy stuff go on since then. If anybody thinks that the White House right now is on par or on pace for the expectations that you wanted to see, this ain't even about politics. Right now, the White House, the administration, it's low, man. It's very low.
So I'm sitting over here giggling.
Yeah.
Because say what you want about Donald Trump. I'm not even here to pro or con Donald Trump. I'm here to say that the leopard doesn't change his spots. What do you expect from this dude? When people say things about him that he doesn't like, he sues them.
Right.
This is what happens.
Right.
He almost never wins. Because it's unfounded nonsense, but here we are. Happy Friday.
Where's the G7 summit going to be?
Oh, at his resort in Doral Springs, Florida.
And now it's time for DB's Deep Dive. Flashback Friday.
That's right. It's Flashback Friday. This one.
I like that.
Yeah, this one's very exciting. So this is the week before this Flashback Friday. A year ago today is the week before I started working on the show kind of in a full-time sense.
Ooh.
So, spoiler alert, next week we'll probably have a little bit of the old DB in there. However, what I was not expecting was this week before There is a, so it was a guest host and guest producer for G and for Drew Barth. G's fill-in was Jim Denver of King 5 TV.
Love Jim.
He's amazing. I listened to like this whole hour basically searching for the best clip because it is Jim Denver. And guess who, Aaron, is the producer slash other co-host? I'll give you a little listen here.
I was married at one time.
What?
And we, so our song was, this is the dance. And we
It was wedding songs, by the way, but keep listening.
We found this.
I thought Frank's was.
I like it already.
I thought Frank's The Wedding Song was the most hipster thing I was going to hear.
In the
early 2000s, there was this guy named David Gray who had a couple hit songs. Mm-hmm. He's a British guy. And I found the B-side to an import CD where someone had remixed this song that we liked. It's this, you'll hear it, it's this acoustic tune.
Mm-hmm.
Our version had drums in it. That's what made it special. But I couldn't even find it on the internet today.
So sorry, Aaron. I kind of jumped the gun there. The basic, it was a question of the day, and the question of the day was, what was your wedding song? And so that was you, if any of the listeners didn't understand, was you describing your wedding song by David Gray. The song is This Year's Love.
Yeah.
I actually have it here. I don't know if you want to listen to it, Aaron, if it brings some weird memories.
No, man, let's do it.
But it's a great song. I was listening to it over and over again. Here it is.
Such a pretty song, and I love his voice.
When he comes in, it's really, it's just beautiful. This is like a really great wedding song, honestly.
This year's love, it better last. Heaven knows it's high time. I've been waiting on my own too long.
I can't not sing along. It's like a disease that I have.
Oh my gosh, there's another clip from the hour where you're singing along to Louis Armstrong's song or something like that. It was so great. I wanted to use it, but this was too good. I couldn't not use it.
Oh, Flashback Friday. I really enjoy it. What a good idea, DB. You're the best. Okay, guys, we have a lot of show tonight. Coming up at 7:45, Scenarios is coming. We're going to bring the drama. We do it every time, but coming up next, you know Rachel Bell's out of town. And so we have an interview. G and I talked to Audrey Carter. She's 13 years old. And her mother, Adele. And Audrey was bullied at school. And her response is just beautiful. It's totally amazing. And it's coming up next. Cairo Nights, G and Mace.
It takes something more this time. Sweet, sweet lies are now for.
Back into Cairo Nights, everybody. G and Mace, happy Friday to all of you. No, Rachel Bell is not here. She's out of the country. But you know, while she's gone, we do the best that we can. But this, we need to talk about something. Brother Mace, did you get the email I sent you?
I did. And it knocked me, man.
Did it?
Yeah. So there is a 13-year-old girl. She's a black girl. Her name's Audrey. Mm-hmm. And she has beautiful hair. Big, beautiful hair. And normally, I guess, has it done down,
right.
But mom, you know, mom's got a kid at home, doesn't have time to do that every morning. So Audrey goes to school, fro in the wind, looking good, and a lot of the students at her school started making fun of her about it, and just the way that she handled that situation and came out of it. It was so inspiring to me.
It definitely was. I saw it on Facebook. I had to send it to you. They are big fans of the show.
Mm.
Both her mom, Adele, and she, Audrey, they listened to the Cairo Nights. So, and so when I saw this, man, it was heartbreaking. So I sent it to you. It was heartbreaking, but then there was some positivities from it as well. And so what I decided to do is I wanted to talk to both mom, Adele, and daughter, Audrey.
Hi, G. Scott. We've been waiting for your call.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I got Mace here with me as well.
How's it going, guys?
Hi, Mace. We are so excited that we're talking to you guys right now. And Audrey's right here with me.
Cool. Hello.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Audrey. All right.
Hi.
Let's get right to it. Audrey,
Tell us what happened.
Yep. Okay, so I went to school in my hair because my mom accidentally forgot to put up my hair. So she said, it's okay, it looks beautiful, so you can just go to school like this. And everywhere I turned, it was, what's wrong with your hair? Having a bad hair day? And when I came back from my group, and this guy, he said, hey, Afro. And I'm like, please do not call me Afro. My name is Audrey. You will assign me my name, Audrey, and you will not call me Afro. And then he's like, okay, Mom. And then I went to go tell the teacher.
Oh.
And then just everywhere.
When you first heard that, Audrey, how did it make you feel?
Well, when I first heard it, I'm like, the first person, I was like, okay, that's your opinion. But then when it kept coming at me a certain way, I kept feeling like I was crumbling down.
So what happened when you eventually, you know, because I know your story here, and you confronted your fellow students, and you talked to them, and then eventually some teachers had some more conversations with students. How did that part start?
Miss Dornan, my principal, came in with my math teacher. And we kind of had this thing called like a circle type of thing where the mean people were sitting on there so I could tell them what they did wrong. And it went pretty well.
Oh, well, I actually think the school responded very well to that. What do you think about that, Audrey?
I think so, too. I mean, they couldn't respond to every single person because there was, like, literally everywhere I turned. Mm. But the two people that were main, I think they handled it pretty well.
And, Mom, Adele, you're here on the phone, on the call as well. Thank you so much for joining us here on Cairo Nights.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having us.
Adele, tell us how you felt when you first found out from Audrey what happened.
To be honest, I actually found out from her teacher first. And her teacher had called me 3 times. I have a 2-year-old at home, so I actually missed the first 2 calls because it was right before pickup time to go get Audrey. And the teacher decided, you know, it was a pretty urgent matter that what Audrey had experienced. So she called me a couple of times. And so when she called me, I actually was squeezing my phone because the school district she's in, this is not the first time something's happened to her. So I got pretty upset inside, but I just, you know, heard the teacher out, heard what they did. I thought what they did was excellent. The teacher made it a big point to let me know that, you know, she doesn't accept behavior like this and will not accept behavior like this. And then when Audrey got in the car, she immediately, as soon as I hung up the phone, Audrey gets in the car and tells me exactly what happened too. And she was really upset, but at the same time said, I think I handled it good, Mom. This is what I said. Mm. So it calmed me down once I realized that Audrey didn't react in a negative way. And I felt that I needed to not react in a negative way or in a defensive way or to get really upset about it because Audrey handled it so beautifully and her teacher commended her on that as well. So I just decided to go Audrey's route and to instead post a message of Audrey. We talked about it and we just wanted to share with other people what's going on with bullying in school, as many people know, but then how Audrey handled it and maybe how some other kids can use that tactic as well.
Adele, you said that this is not the first time that this kind of thing has happened to Audrey. Have you had discussions with her previously about how to handle this type of thing?
I did, yeah. And that's what I posted in my post, that I felt that Audrey ended up having this type of response because of not only I, but everybody in our family that has had these discussions with her, because there's been instances previously where the police had to be involved in our district because of something that's happened to her. So we've had really long, in-depth conversations, and she's actually at a whole different school in this district now. And so then this is a new incident that occurred. And so prior to this, we had conversation with her.
Man,
wow.
I'm sorry, Audrey. That you know, it really stinks that people are like this. Because I saw your picture. I saw your hair. It's beautiful. It's awesome.
Thank you.
I think the maturity that you showed here, and you know, you really stuck your ground and stood up for yourself and provided a good example not only for your mom but for your students and teachers and me and G. I mean, this is just well done. I'm so impressed.
Mom, Adele, question for you before we're done with this conversation. Are you happy with the way that the teacher in the school, that they handled this particular situation?
to be completely honest with you, G, I am to an extent.
Okay.
The whole part where I added that the students' parents would be contacted, that wasn't until I kind of requested it, because I said, you know, if you're going to call me and let me know what happened to my daughter, I think it's only fair that you call the parents on the opposite side and allow them to know how their child's been behaving and for them to have a discussion at home about this as well. So I think if that kind of maybe would have already been done, since it was urgent enough to call me three times, if that part would have been done, I would have been very, very happy with what happened. But the fact that they did stop, have them discuss it, let Audrey tell them, you know, what was hurting her, what she didn't like, what they were saying, I felt that that was really good of the school.
Well, I want to end it off with two things, Mom, Audrey, is this. One, I want to give a big shout out to the teacher and those that contacted you, Mom, and made it urgent and made it an urgent situation and felt that it needed to be talked about. Because I know many times in the past, and even unfortunately sometimes today, nobody stops in this situation and addresses it. So I really want to give credit out to that, because, again, there are so many times where it does not get addressed. That's one. And
very
two,
true.
My next message is for you, Audrey. And I want you to listen to me good. And I want you never to forget what I'm going to tell you right here. Number one,
okay. You
are a very, very beautiful young woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Audrey, your hair is amazing. Mm-hmm. You are amazing. Everything about you is amazing. And I think you're an amazing person. And I think you are going to do wonders. And this world needs to have more Audreys in the world. And thank you for being such a shining light. Thank you for smiling through it all. This picture that I see on Facebook, you look wonderful. You look fantastic. Now, I can't grow my hair out like that, but boy, I tell you, if I could, I would. That hair looks good. And you just rock that hair. I want you to rock that hair again.
Yes.
Make it your day. Make it on Mondays. I come to school just like this. And boy, you just flow it. Let it flow. You're amazing, Audrey. And thank you so much for joining Cairo Nights.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming up next, it's time for Scenarios. Cairo Nights, G and Mace.
Hoya, welcome back to Cairo Nights. G and Mace, happy Friday, everybody. Feeling good. Feeling good on this Friday, Frank.
It's Friday night, man.
Yeah. What's not to love? Frank Shires is here. DB is here. Guys, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we got a lot of fun stuff. Of course, Stacey Joe's going to come by, talk about sports and that new big paycheck of hers. She just, you know, she's on the air now.
Yeah.
Over at 710.
Oh, so things, she's come up in the world.
And so G is obsessed with what she's going to do with that first paycheck. So we'll find out all about that and more. But first,
here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
You have a scenario you would like us to read? Email nights@cairoradio.com. You will be kept anonymous and you will be blessed with the advice of such wise folk as we. Dear Cairo Nights, my husband and I were having dinner with two other couples at our house over the weekend. I was having a really good time, but I know these are not his favorite people. So dinner was finished, and we were just sitting around talking. He excused himself politely, and I thought he was, you know, going to go to the bathroom or something. And he was gone for a long time, like 20 minutes. And nobody said anything, but I decided to go check on him. And as I walked down the hall, there he is in the guest room watching Netflix on his phone in the dark. He's hiding and leaving me all alone out there. Am I being petty? Should I let it go? What do I do with this now? 98973, we want to hear from you, but after we hear from the giggly Frank Shires.
Yes. Well, the first thing is to understand. Thou shalt not have people you don't like at your house. End of story. I don't care. Yes, maybe there's a business thing that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, then an understanding has to be reached, which is Netflix on the phone is a no-no, even if you're in the bathroom for business. you gotta grin and bear it if it's a business thing. But if it ain't a business thing, then at least in our household, every member of the household has veto power. including my daughter.
Yes.
So, hey, do you want to have the Smiths over? No, that girl, that Lisa Smith, the French, she's a jerk. And Janelle and I have both said, okay. And I'm the same way. I do not want somebody in my house that I don't like. Mm. Now, the exception to that, I'll save you the trouble, David, is relatives.
Mm.
Sometimes you're going to have relatives you don't prefer. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a grin and bear it thing.
Yeah, you're stuck with them.
Right.
Right.
Because you don't get to pick relatives. They're just yours. So that's in my humble opinion. DB.
This is funny. This is like an episode of like King of Queens or Everybody Loves Raymond or something. It feels like a gag from that. But I would say first off, yes, I don't think you guys should have necessarily invited these people over if he is vehemently against having them over. That being said, he at least was okay enough with it that they did come over. And once they're over, dude, you cannot go and watch Netflix on your phone.
You are like, rude, come on. Dude.
You can do that anytime. Like, this is one evening. This is probably 3 hours, maybe 4 hours tops.
Yeah.
Just think of it as a job. Just go out there, smile, be friendly. Just don't be a jerk face.
I have a question, and for real, because what do you do when you don't like your partner's friends? Because there were, in my now failed marriage that I had for a while there, some of my ex-wife's friends I did not like and just kind of avoided them. And so I really relate to this guy in a weird way. This sounds like old Aaron.
Okay, but what would new Aaron do?
So I think, well, old Aaron would have been receptive to some constructive criticism.
Okay.
Hey, I know it's hard. I really appreciate you, you know, gritting your teeth and getting through it. You know, I like these folks. They like me. Just hang with me. And if you have to dangle a carrot of some sort, and, make it worth your while, then go for it. But yeah, you can't just up and leave at a party. That's a bad look. And frankly, you might feel bad about it later.
Chris, depends on what was on Netflix.
Now that's true.
Could have been good.
I hear there's a new Paul Rudd show.
What isn't on Netflix?
Everything Disney.
Ooh, Frank with the hit. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Cairo Nights, G and I are going to talk with Dyer Oxley about a new record, a new record here in Washington State that has been hit, and it has to do with booze. Coming up after this, Cairo Nights, G and Mace.